This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro. Last night we took on the subject of sleep and the lack thereof. This pandemic has created fear, stress, and anxiety that take a toll on our mental health and our ability to sleep. And you asked us so many questions that we have invited back Professor Sonia Ancoli Israel of the University of California, San Diego and Center for Circadian Biology to help answer some more of them. Welcome back, Professor.
Thank you, Ari, and I'm a big fan of yours, so I'm really
delighted. Oh, thank you so much.
you know,
yesterday you shared a lot of advice that our listeners can go back and listen to. One of the things that came up was sleep supplements, everything from melatonin to magnesium to CBD. Just briefly, will you review for us the pros and cons of taking something that'll help you sleep?
Sure. Well, let's start with melatonin. Melatonin can work for some people as a sleeping aid, but most people are using way too high a dose. We recommend only 3 to 5 milligrams about 30 minutes before bedtime. With melatonin, less is better. So don't try doubling or tripling that dose.
Okay.
Unfortunately, when we get to magnesium, there are almost no scientific data showing that it works. If you're using it and it's not hurting and you think it's helping, great, but we don't have the science behind that yet.
Okay.
But the other over-the-counter sleeping aid that's often used, and I spoke about it briefly yesterday, is diphenhydramine or Benadryl, which has drowsiness as a side effect. It's found in all the PM drugs, but in addition to drowsiness, it has other more serious side effects, or can, like blurred vision, urinary retention, constipation, problems with memory. And often people build up a tolerance, so night after night, they have to take more and more of it. We don't usually recommend taking diphenhydramine for more than a few nights, and we never recommend it in older adults.
Okay. Our next question is actually about building up tolerance to something stronger than Benadryl. Christina is writing with a question about Ambien, and she asks, I'm concerned about building up tolerance, so took a 6-week break instead of increasing the dose, but it doesn't seem like that did anything to reduce tolerance back to the original baseline, and without it, my sleep is erratic at best. Professor, what would you tell Christina about Ambien?
Yeah, so like with all drugs, Ambien works for some people and not for others, and some people can use it for years with no problems, and other people do develop side effects and tolerance. If you build up a tolerance, the best thing to do is not stop it all at once, but wean yourself slowly with your physician's guidance. But a better approach to fixing, so to speak, your insomnia are the behavioral therapies, as we discussed yesterday. They take a bit more work, but they're more effective and they last longer. It's like the old expression, Ari, I can give you a fish or I can teach you how to fish.
Yeah.
Giving you a sleeping pill is giving you a fish, but cognitive behavioral therapy teaches you how to fish, or in this case, how to sleep.
All right, so let's imagine that somebody is able to get to sleep, and then comes the question of dreams, which is what our listener Dee wants to ask about.
So even when I manage to fall asleep, it's been impossible to stay asleep. I have anxiety dream after anxiety dream. How can I control those?
I'm sure a lot of people relate to that. Professor Ancoli Israel, what would you tell Dee?
Absolutely. In this time of COVID-19, lots of people are experiencing anxiety and anxious dreams. And there's several things that you can try. The first D would be to limit screen time in general, but especially limit listening or watching the news or other anxiety-provoking programs too close to bedtime. The second is to set aside what we call a worry time. It sounds silly, but it works. Set aside 10 to 15 minutes earlier in the day when you turn off your cell phone and you just sit and worry.
Really?
It helps you get it out of your system. And especially if you do it every day at the same time, your brain gets used to dealing with that anxiety when you're awake during the day rather than at night. And the other
That's so interesting. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, set a worry time. And the other important thing for everybody is stick to a daily routine. You know, we're sort of losing our routine because we're home so much. But you should get up at the same time every day, eat regular meals, and get outside for lots of bright light. And that'll help sleep all around.
Great. Okay, well, our next question comes from Reed in Bismarck, North Dakota, the state where I was born. And his question is about oversleeping.
Recently, I switched from a delivery job in a truck to a nighttime, actually, food delivery service here in town. And I don't have a problem getting to sleep or staying asleep. I actually have the opposite. I feel like I have been getting too much sleep. Instead of getting 7-8 hours, I find myself getting 9, 10, 11, sometimes 12 hours. Is this also a side effect of the COVID-19 stress and anxiety, or is this just my body saying that I need more sleep?
We hear from so many listeners who are unable to sleep. So here's somebody who says he's sleeping too much. We actually followed up with Reed, and he now goes to bed at 1 a.m. What advice would you have for him, sleeping 9, 10, 11, or more hours a night?
Yeah, Reed is right that most adults need only 7 to 8 or maybe 9 hours of sleep. There are some people that are long sleepers and need more, but it sounds like this is something new for Reed. And he's working almost like a shift worker now, and shift work can wreak havoc with our sleep. His body may be trying to catch up with sleep, as he suggested, but if that's the case, after about a week, he should be back to his regular sleep amount. Depression and anxiety, something quite common now during COVID, can also result in long sleep. So, Reed, if you continue to sleep 10 to 12 hours and you're not waking up refreshed, you might want to talk to your physician about it.
Okay, so we have a follow-up to a question that a listener named Gail asked last night. She was waking up in the middle of the night, and the advice was get up and go somewhere else, another room, separate the sleeping area from everything else. Well, she came back to us and said, I'm in a studio apartment. I don't have another place to go in the middle of the night, so now what?
Yeah, I used to have this a lot with students living in dormitories. There's still a few options for you, Gail. One would be to get a screen, like a Japanese screen that you could set up so you can't see your bed, and it makes you feel like you're in another room. The other is to just get a chair and sit with your back to the bed. The idea is to have your mind think you're not in your bedroom.
All right. I think we have time for one more question, which comes from Mike, who says, in regards to sleeping, sometimes when I have to go to the bathroom, it wakes me up for the rest of the night and I have a hard time falling back to sleep. What role does that play in sleeping? Professor Ankoli Israel?
Yeah. So this is a problem lots of people have. Often, although not always, we wake up first and then we realize there's pressure and we decide to go to the bathroom. If when you first wake up, you keep your eyes closed, there's a greater chance you'll fall right back to sleep and not need to get up. But if the pressure is too great, try not turning on any lights when you get up. Use a nightlight if you're afraid of falling. And once you're done with your business, just go right back to bed. If you still can't fall asleep and you start getting upset that you're not falling asleep, get out of bed, go to another room the way we talked about yesterday, and don't go back to bed until you feel sleepy.
Let's squeeze in one more from Kat, who asks, if you find something that does fix your sleep schedule, how long does it take for the chronic exhaustion to go away?
Generally, it takes about 3 to 4 days of extended sleep, that is sleeping more than you usually do, to catch up.
Psychiatry professor Sonia Ankoli Israel of the University of California, San Diego, and the Center for Circadian Biology, thank you for coming back these two nights in a row to answer our listeners' burning questions about sleep. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
If you have questions, we want to help. Go to npr.org/nationalconversation. On Twitter, use the hashtag NPRConversation. Or you can call and leave us a message at 202-403-0386. That's 202-403-0386. And this is The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.